Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi everyone, and welcome to, I believe this is episode 40 of From Pain to Power. Can't believe it's 40 episodes in. And today I'm pre-recording this, but this episode is due to launch, I believe, on the 26th of December. So if you're at home and if you're still cozy in your Christmas vibes, in your pajamas, eating chocolate with the fire on, yeah, I hope you are really enjoying that and soaking that up. And or maybe you're listening to this in the future, which is cool too. So hello. And today I am going to speak about, I'm actually sharing a little personal update, which is relevant to this work. So I'm titling this episode an end of year endometriosis update, because I have been, you know, a lot of my professional work is obviously informed by my lived experience, but I do try to keep my personal process as separate as I can to my professional practice, just for my own well-being and for boundaries and clarity of practice and of purpose. And it helps me to, you know, be in my own beginner's mind for myself and make mistakes. And yeah, some of the things that I talk about are not necessarily relevant for me personally, or they are, but it just helps me to have more wiggle room with, you know, the space between my work and then my personal lived experience. But this is definitely going to be a little bit more on the personal side, and I will offer some thoughts for you to think about as well. So with my own journey with endometriosis, as you probably already know, and I shared on in the very first few episodes of this podcast, I believe episode 2 and 3 or 4. So I had surgery over a year ago now in London, and I'd had been treated surgically as well in Ireland for endometriosis. And so really, I've kind of come to this place in myself where I know what works, I know what doesn't work. I know when I'm, you know, trying to rely on things that aren't working, and when I'm overdoing this sort of self-care list and the wellness industry. And so I have to be really careful with that. But what I have noticed over the last few months is, even though I have been treated very well for endometriosis, and I do obviously practice what I preach, and, you know, I'm very careful with lifestyle decisions, etc., I still get pain, and there are no guarantees, and I can't predict how my cycle is going to be every month, and it will change. And, you know, sometimes it's fine, and then other times it isn't. And, you know, I've tried to look for patterns, and I do know that there are some, well, there's a lot of things that will trigger me, certain foods, and if I'm very, very stressed or anxious, that's not good for me either. But, you know, sometimes I could be, quote unquote, doing really well, and then I could just have a really bad endometriosis flare. So I've kind of come to see my own journey on this path with, for myself, as being really one of calling me to a place of presence with this work and with my relationship with myself, in that I really, really can't control the outcome. I have control over some things, but ultimately I can't control the outcome. So it's really calling me to this higher level of presence. It's calling me to a higher level of acceptance. In my work, I teach, especially in my professional training, I talk a lot about something called the power of encounter. So I use that word encounter a lot. And that it's really about the mindfulness element to this work, that yes, there's a lot of action we can do. There's a lot of things we can do and take responsibility for and make different choices and decisions. And we can learn and reflect and read and discuss things. But then there's also this like unlearning piece, and learning to let go of things that are not helping, and learning to come into more stillness and more presence and more acceptance. And all that piece is how I describe as the encounter part of this work, where we're really meeting what is, and can we meet the difficult days? Can we be in relationship with the disappointments, the fears, the uncertainty? Recently, I've been with this feeling of like not really believing in things that, you know, claim to work. And so I'm really sitting with this feeling of like disbelief. So that's kind of like what I'd like for you to reflect on with me today, is just this piece around what part of this work and my own wellness journey and self-care, you know, can I potentially drop? Like, where am I trying to push things too hard? And so it really comes back to this, you know, the way I'm always talking about these systems that we live in, and we live in a patriarchal capitalistic system. And obviously a lot of us benefit from that, like I mentioned in the previous episode, but we do pay a price for that. And the wellness industry, even though it's very well-meaning for us and well-intentioned for us, it does unconsciously play out these systems of trying to fix the problem and trying to find a solution and trying to have an answer and trying to find certainty. And that can be a lot of pressure to put on ourselves when, at the end of the day, a lot of these conditions such as PMDD, period pain, dysmenorrhea, endometriosis, they're very under-researched. They present differently for everyone. And if we knew the answer, we'd all be doing the thing. So ultimately, there is a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of gaps. And I think that we have to be careful with where we, you know, with this whole playing God thing and thinking like we're going to find the answer and find the solution. And to just come back into acceptance of what is, can we be with that? And can we be with our reality here with this stuff? And when we do that, it does bring up a lot of uncomfortable feelings like disappointment and fear and uncertainty. But then my question to that is then, what do those things need? And for me personally, those things also need something. They can't just be gaps. They need presence and comfort and support and gentleness and kindness and compassion and acceptance and permission to be. Like, it's really helpful for me to have permission to be in pain sometimes. Because when I resist it, it's, you know, if I give myself a hard time for being in pain, that's just going to, you know, cause more pain. So just some kind of questions I have for this is like this whole idea of being well enough. Like, what is wellness? How do you define wellness for yourself? And what would well enough look like for you? How do you want to feel in yourself, in your well enoughness? And like another reason why I'm speaking to this is because I am working with a lot of clients in my groups and in my one-to-one practice, where a lot of our work is unlearning this striving to find the answer and learning to come into some more gentle acceptance and presence with the reality of these diagnoses and that we don't know what's going to happen. And so we're really, really, what we're looking at as well is this review of the wellness industrial complex and how, which is essentially the intersection of the wellness industry and capitalism, and how those dynamics then play out in us and our expectations. So just to think about, like, what is well enough for you? I'm going to be doing this as well over Christmas. I always do a little reflection time between Christmas and New Year's, and I will definitely be doing this with regards to my health and my own journey with endometriosis. So what is well enough for me? And what does that look like? And it's not binary. It's not, because in the capitalist system that we live in, it's, you know, wellness is this, you know, this belief that somebody is either well, and well means well enough to work, or you're not well enough to work and then you're in bed. And then where's the, you know, that's very binary. So where is the space in between? You know, where is the middle ground? And that's going to look different for everyone. Another question I have here is, what can we let go of? So I remember a few years ago, I went through this process of like realizing I was trying to force solutions in my recovery and healing journey. And I wrote a list of all of the, you know, the suggestions and advice and tips and things that practitioners and wellness people gave me. And I had a whole A4 page list of things I, you know, quote unquote, should be doing every day or every week. And then I crossed them all off and I just kept two or three. So that was really, really liberating for me. And then to reflect on like what works, what's actually getting in the way, what doesn't work, what could be different. And then even thinking about like what works and in what way does it work? So for some people, like having a healthy diet really works for me. But if I do that in a very strict, regimented, having to meal plan every single week kind of a way, that doesn't work for me. I like to kind of go with the flow a little bit more. I'm not as routine as most people would be. And maybe that'll change and maybe that's something for me to work on. But it's not something I feel is really a requirement for me to completely change my personality with that, or to change my own behaviors with my food. So thinking about what works and in what way does it work? You know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, from the wellness and self-development industry to be very structured and routine, when a lot of us it's not how we want to be. Although I do have friends who are super structured and routined, like they love routines, but that's really, that aligns with who they are. Whereas it just doesn't align for me. And then I have here a question, how can we bring softness to our vulnerable parts? So that's something for me to work on. At the moment, I've noticed I have a lot of fear coming up at the moment in my premenstrual phase in relation to fear, especially if I'm out and about or if I'm traveling or if I have things to go to, I can get a lot of fear spiraling that is associated with like this fear of pain and fear of getting my period, because my most vulnerable day is day one. So I'm trying to kind of control that, and the fear is trying to control something and trying to stay safe. So just, you know, I'm asking myself, how can I bring softness to my own vulnerable parts? And one way that I'm doing that, and I'm just saying that this is my piece here, so you don't have to do this, but you can figure out what works for you. But at the moment, I'm just kind of experimenting a bit with not tracking my menstrual cycle and just having a sense of the weeks, so the seasons, but not the exact days. Because sometimes if I know the exact day, then I can, my mind starts to spiral then in that premenstrual phase. So that's something I'm kind of playing with at the moment. And that's kind of what I wanted to share. And I suppose when we start to let go of a lot of that conditioning and a lot of that mindset of having to, like, you know, find the solution to this problem and fix ourselves and like find the cure and when are we going to be, you know, well and, you know, perfect and able to work, etc. When we let go of that, when we actually give ourselves permission to be well enough, to be imperfect, to have difficult days, to struggle, to be in pain, to have fear of pain, and when we can create some softness and some space and some compassion about that, around that, then really what's left then is a lot of very uncomfortable feelings. So feelings would be things like disappointment. Like, it's very disappointing to accept that you have a diagnosis of some sort. There's a lot of disappointment around that. There's grief. There's grief of what could have been. There's grief of time lost in the past. There's grief of, you know, like a sort of projected grief for the future, could be lost for the future. Obviously, there'll be fear. There could be a sense of defeat, a lot of uncertainty. But then also when we start to move into those emotions in a way that feels comfortable for us, we can come to a place of acceptance and trust and just a type of hope that is grounded in reality, as opposed to a false hope where we're chasing things. So that's kind of what I wanted to share with you, really. I just wanted to give you a little update about my own personal process with my own cycle with endometriosis, how I'm thinking about that, how, where my intentions are for spaciousness, for allowance, for permission, for being with reality, and how some of my behaviors can change a little bit to support that. So, you know, that would be, you know, obviously like looking at things that are helpful, like diet and lifestyle, but then discerning in what way they work for me and giving myself permission to do it in an imperfect way. And then I want to leave you with this little quote. So this quote is from a spiritual teacher who I really admire, and his name is Richard Rohr. Richard and then Rohr, R-O-H-R. And he is a very interesting spiritual teacher. He comes from the Franciscan Christian tradition. But he's like, I'm not a big advocate of like certain religions over others, but his teachings are he's very critical of Christianity, which I find interesting. Anyway, in one of his books, he did an interview with Oprah, and in one of the books that they were discussing in their conversation on Super Soul Sunday, he said that when we come into relationship with reality, that is where we meet our God. And I suppose what he means by God is, you know, that's your understanding of God, your connection to yourself or your intuition or your higher power. And I just thought that was really powerful, like that feeling of, you know, this idea of coming into relationship with reality, because I think we can lose touch with reality when we're avoiding stuff and we're searching for answers and we're in that fight or flight response, always looking for the solution, always looking for the North Star. But when we can come back to ourselves and come back to acceptance of what's actually happening and be with the really uncomfortable feelings around that, I really think that that is the most spiritual thing you can do, is to really come back into your humanness, your imperfections, your disappointments, your griefs, you know, and the uncertainty we have, which is a part of the human condition. So I'll leave you with that. That's my little end of year endometriosis update. It's very much moved into a sort of a spiritual practice for me. When I say spiritual, I mean really like that humanness, the coming into connection with reality and learning how to be with that and what my needs are around those difficult feelings and what supports I need. in a way that doesn't feel like efforting or striving, but rather more accepting of who I am and of endometriosis itself. So that's it. So be curious to hear what you think. And if you have any questions, you can email me, lisa@lisadioncoaching.com. If you would be interested in working with me, I have space. I'm accepting people, and you can click on the link in the show notes or head on over to my website, lisadioncoaching.com, and the link is in the show notes. And I wish you a lovely new year and lovely rest of your Christmas break. And I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.